This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, lovely people, and welcome to your Monday night edition of The Informer on Joy 94.9. My name is Emma Arnold, and I will be your host for tonight, along with my co-host, Stephanie McLean. On tonight's show, we are in election mode. With less than 2 weeks away to the federal election on July 2nd, we thought we'd take a closer look at some of Melbourne's inner city electorates and their candidates. Tonight and next week, we'll be looking at the seat of Batman, a solid working class electorate in Melbourne's north, covering the suburbs of Fairfield, Northcote, Preston and Reservoir, as well as the campus of La Trobe University.
Yes, Emma, Batman, a long-time Labor electorate, is predicted to be in close battle with the Greens this year. According to a Lone Grand research poll that gives the Greens' Alex Battal 41% of the primary vote, ahead of Labor frontbencher David Feeney on 28%, with the Liberals' George Souris on 23%. But for a change this week, we'll be speaking to candidates from some of the minor parties contesting the seat to find out what their party has to offer the people of Batman and Australia as a whole. Earlier today, Emma caught up with Caitlin Evans, Batman candidate for the Animal Justice Party, who had some very insightful messages. And later on, I'll be speaking with Joel Murray, candidate for the Australian Sex Party, for a chat about his party's policies.
As always, we want to hear what you guys have to say, so please send through an email to onair@joy.org.au, or you can text our studio at 0427JOY949, or you can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at The Informer Joy. You are listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. Tonight we'll be taking a look at the seat of Batman in Melbourne's north in the lead up to the federal election on July 2nd. We're chatting with candidates from some of the minor parties contesting for the seat of Batman, and earlier today I was lucky enough to catch up with Caitlin Evans, candidate for the Animal Justice Party. The Animal Justice Party seeks to improve the life and equality of animals from farming to live animal exports, but they recognise that change will proceed in stages.
But before we jump into that, Emma, we did actually hit the streets of Northcote earlier today.
Oh, we did. We actually had quite a funny time.
There weren't many people out and about, but we did manage to have a chat to a few constituents about what is important to them in the upcoming election, particularly in the seat of Batman. And so here's what they had to say. So what's important to you in the upcoming election?
A much stronger commitment to renewable energy and dealing with climate change.
And who do you think might be the best person for the job?
Alex Battal, the Greens candidate.
So what's most important to you in Batman as a voter?
Climate change.
Do you think the current government are doing enough, or do you think there needs to be a change?
That's almost a joke question.
They're not doing anything.
Have you been paying any attention to any of the smaller parties?
Not so much. I know the Greens have got a strong candidate here, so I'll be thinking about voting for them just to see if they can get more representation.
So there's the difficult issue of do you weigh up a voting for a political party that's potentially have a majority, or do you vote for the Greens?
I'm still deciding.
As a business owner, what's most important to you?
Of course, like more opportunities for people, more work for people, gives them like more employment.
I don't know, it's so hard to, there's so many really big issues that aren't. Yeah, I think, I mean, realistically, climate change has to be the number one issue, but I think everyone and politicians and voters all, like, kind of really think very short term and on a very kind of personal, individual level.
As far as the election goes, have you been paying any attention to the smaller parties?
Not a lot. I sort of got very caught up in American politics, got very consumed by that. But
yeah. Well, do you see any of the issues in America being mirrored in Australia right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of, like, I guess, like, special interests really having a lot of power where they shouldn't. I suppose, like, more people are getting more involved in politics in America, but I guess it's a bit different because they're not sort of required by law to vote, whereas we are here. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me getting older and the people I hang out with, but I feel like we are getting more political, like our generation particularly.
You know, public transport's always a big issue, and there's heaps of people with disabilities here, so strong social support networks and a really strong Medicare system, which they will also kind of contribute to rather than erode. Yeah, I guess they're the kind of key issues.
Back on The Informer, still, those were the voices from Northcote's High Street in the lead-up to the new election, and we are now moving to what Caitlin Evans from the Australian Justice Party had to say. In the lead-up to this year's election, we have heard a lot in the media about major party policies, but smaller parties like the Animal Justice Party don't get as much airtime. What values are at the heart of the Animal Justice Party?
As a party, we do have a set of values. They're kindness, non-violence, equality and rationality. And we think our stance on animals supports those values. We feel we're different from the major parties in that we're speaking an inconvenient truth. We're the only party in Australia that's been formed for animals. We were formed in 2009. We're part of an international movement of political parties for animals, and we're the second in the world behind Holland to have a representative elected. That's Mark Pearson in New South Wales. Even though we're a solo voice, we're trying to bring animal issues squarely to the table because there's billions of animals in the world. It's their world too, and we think they've been totally neglected by mainstream parties and desperately need a voice in Parliament.
Well, great, and I think reaching out to issues that are so ignored very much ties in with what we're doing here at Joy, in that it is about finding places that are ignored in society. Do the values you carry for animals, do they carry into the way you think about things for the LGBT community?
Yeah, absolutely. The values that I outlined before, I mean, I've had quite a few emails from different people in the seat of Batman wanting to know my views on gay marriage. And I'm like, of course I'm supportive. You know, what rational, kind person who favours equality could not be supportive of that? So, you know, absolutely. You know, compassion for all people. People, compassion for diversity and understanding of diversity.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of voters would come to your party for the animal rights and then stay because you're supporting other factions of equality that need the same amount of attention, which is good. I mean, as far as engaging voters go, how do you go about reaching out to the younger branch of voters that are coming through for their first election?
As you were sort of suggesting, we've got a range of policies. You can see them on our website that aren't just, you know, immediately obvious animal issues that are about wider issues. In terms of attracting young people, I mean, I just think younger people are great because they're fresh and they're open to new ideas and making up their own mind. And I think, you know, some of the biggest supporters of the environmental movement and the animal movement are young people, and they're the ones going out, getting active and, you know, actually doing the door knocking and doing the letterboxing. And I think it's a new generation, a new century, and animal rights and climate change are going to be two of the biggest issues of this century, I think.
Absolutely. And there are more initiatives coming through that are representing this push, such as the shortage of eggs on supermarket shelves. Are these the kind of rules that your party supports?
A lot of people are unaware that cruelty is basically legal in Australia. There's some good laws to protect companion animals like cats and dogs. Mm. But the vast majority of animals, you know, some 500 million in Australia are kept in factory farms where they don't see the light of day, they're crowded, they can't engage in any natural behaviours. You know, an example of that being chickens, a very, very popular dish, chicken, but meat chickens are kept into sheds, 20 birds per square metre, bred to grow at 3 times their natural rate, and they suffer, because of this, painful joint dislocations, lameness, and each year 20 million die from illness, trampling, or being unable to reach food or water in these sheds. Mother pigs can't turn around, you know, in their stalls. Dairy cows are separated from their babies as soon as they're born. It's just the legal cruelty goes on, governed by industry codes of practice rather than laws. What we're saying is, exactly like the egg thing, the rules really need to be tightened up so that there is far less cruelty in factory farming. It's not necessary for human survival for us to be cruel. We can do a lot about that, so we really want to reduce the cruel practices and eventually end them.
And especially with these cruel practices, a lot of people, I think, choose to ignore them because it is a lot easier on the social conscience. But I think what people realise we actually can't ignore is that whilst, okay, it's no longer just a question of is this moral, it's also a question of how is this affecting the climate. Where does your party stand on climate change?
That's absolutely right. It's a massive percentage of greenhouse gas emissions come from animal agriculture. It's a massive contributor to climate change. Our planet is in crisis right now if we don't start reducing these emissions and keep it under 1.5 degree. Basically, our climate change policy centres around reducing the effects of animal agriculture. So we want governments to focus like agricultural subsidies on plant-based agriculture and help farmers to transition to more sustainable practices and more kind and healthy alternatives like plant-based food, plant-based products, plant-based technology. We're not talking about just chucking farmers on the heap. We're talking about helping them to transit to a different kind of economy. This will have a positive impact for everyone. I mean, meat and dairy industries account for 70% of global fresh water consumption and 38% of total land use. I mean, here in Victoria alone, the dairy industry is responsible for the consumption of 54% of the state's agricultural water and uses 53% of the state's irrigated land. I mean, it takes up to 1,000 litres of water to produce 1 litre of milk. And these kind of practices are just not sustainable if we're going to save the world from climate change.
Well, absolutely. And in your party manifesto, it states that animal justice needs to move from the margins of human interest and into the mainstream because this is something that we all benefit from by engaging with. How exactly do you think that people can benefit from engaging with your party in the lead up to the election?
Animals bring so much to us. They enhance our lives so much. Our pets do. And the research shows people who are cruel to animals are cruel to people. People who are kind to animals are generally kind to people. There's a massive value to valuing animals, and I think getting involved with us, we do need people in the the research has shown if you have a representative at each polling booth, the parties, you get something like 50% more votes. So we're really looking for people to sign up and be willing to man a table or hand out stuff on election day. That would be a wonderful way for people to get involved quickly and to feel, that they're building something for animals, because we've been getting our votes been growing every election since 2013, which I think was the first one. We are building as a party, and if we manage to get 4% of the vote this election, federal election, we would be eligible for funding as a political party, which would just help us enormously to grow, because that's hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of money, and we're, completely volunteer and donation run at the moment.
Well, you recently did gain federal Australian Labor Party support for an independent office of animal welfare. Does this mean you will be preferencing Labor in this year's federal election?
Yeah, that was that's a really good win, and that shows just how much, we can have power behind the scenes, arguing for things like the independent office. And also, yes, we do have power with our preferences, because when we give our preferences, we basically say, what are you going to do for animals in return for our preferences? And I believe there's a statement about our preferences and why they've gone where they've gone on our website. But basically, we've preferenced the Greens in most seats, ALP in a couple, and one Liberal, because he had a really amazing track record on animals.
Keeping in mind that Australia's live cattle export is worth over $800 million per year to the Australian economy, what is your response to the horrific events with Australian cattle in Vietnam? Do you think it's as simple as abolishing it?
I really do. I think the time's come. I mean, it's just unbearable. Animals Australia have been amazing in bringing these issues to people's attention, and I would urge your listeners to look at their website because they have great explanations of all the issues. I think it does just have to stop. You can't just shut down an industry overnight and expect people not to be very upset and to lose their livelihoods, etc. So it might have to be done in a more gradual, sensible way. But it just, you know, it has to, live export has to end. It just can't continue. It's, you know, and most Australians are against it, and the government has to catch up with that. Essentially, we just think we need to give animals a voice in Parliament. We're not trying to take over the government, but we think having people there that represent animals would be good for all of us. Yeah, we're running 53 candidates across the country, which is pretty big for a little party. And, yeah, we're just hoping to do as well as we can and get as many people interested in talking about these issues as we can. And, yeah, just with that focus on animal cruelty and climate change.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as you get a dialogue going on it, it's sort of hard not to come to the conclusion that, hey, we actually have to do something about this.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, I mean, it's hard. The other parties sort of, they stay away from the impact of animal agriculture on climate change. I mean, a big reason I got disillusioned with the Greens is because they've just, well, one, their leader's a cattle farmer, but two, they've hardly got anything about the impact, the 50% impact of animal agriculture on climate change, and neither do the other parties. And it's because it's not electorally convenient. It's not palatable to come and say to people, you know, you have to look at your diet, you have to look at your consumption. It's a difficult thing for people to be confronted with, and it's that if we can just start being more aware of the impact of what we do, then hopefully change will happen slowly, or, you know, as fast as we can.
Hopefully. Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9 with Emma Arnold and Stephanie McLean. That was Caitlin Evans, candidate from the Animal Justice Party, who is contesting the Victorian seat of Batman in the upcoming federal election. If you missed anything, a podcast of our show will be up shortly at joy.org.au/theinformer. And if you have any questions for the candidates we are speaking to this evening, please send them through an email to onair@joy.org.au, or you can text the studio at 0427-JOY-949. You can even hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at The Informer Joy. You can send a carrier pigeon. We don't really mind. Just talk to us. But right now, Stephanie has got another Batman candidate here in the studio.
Yes, Emma, I'm joined in the studio, or we're joined in the studio, by Joel Murray, candidate for the Australian Sex Party, who's also contesting the seat of Batman for this year's federal election. Joel, welcome to The Informer, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, to date, how has the Australian Sex Party played a role in shaping the Australian political and social landscape?
We've played a very important role. I think on a federal level, we were one of the first parties to advocate for the Royal Commission into institutionalised sexual abuse. We've seen that come to fruition. We certainly were part of the campaign to legalise R-rated computer games at a federal level, and that's been achieved. On a more local level, we've got one member in the Victorian Parliament, Fiona Patten, and we've been able to implement safe exit zones around abortion clinics. It was Fiona's idea to send to have an end-of-life choices inquiry, which has resulted in a recommendation to the government to make euthanasia, voluntary assisted dying, legal. So that's a really excellent, excellent set of achievements.
And with all of these progressive sort of changes and objectives, would you say that the Australian Sex Party is very much a libertarian party?
Some of us call it a libertarian party. Others are more comfortable with civil libertarian party. But our policies essentially are socially progressive, economically prudent, and environmentally rational. So we try to take an evidence-informed approach to our policies.
What would be your party's main objective for this year's federal election, not expecting to be elected as a seat holder, but what would your objectives be in shaping policy?
I'm involved in policy at the party level. I have been since I joined the party in 2009. So, and public policy is one thing that I'm really passionate about. So for me to be campaigning in the seat of Batman, it's really about raising awareness for the party, but also to support our Senate candidate, Dr. Meredith Doig. Personally, I'd love to see Meredith elected to the Senate. And I think that we've proven so far just how much influence one seat can have, and we expect to do the same if we get her elected. I think one thing that Meredith is very passionate about is this idea of a secular society. So Meredith's work with the Rationalist Society has been successful in bringing about changes to special religious instruction in schools. And we'd like to follow on by ending the school chaplain program. It should be qualified social workers, counsellors and psychologists. And another thing is to tax the church. So there are a lot of religious businesses out there that don't pay any tax, like Hillsong, like Sanitarium, and that gives them an unfair market advantage, as well as the fact is that the work that they're doing is not really charitable.
Ben Grubb, one of our Informer journalists, spoke with Lyle Shelton a few weeks ago regarding the current exemptions to the Discrimination Act for religious schools.
Yes.
So what's the Australian Sex Party's stance on that?
Well, I think it goes to say that we have a set of discrimination laws to protect individuals from discrimination. That religious organisations get automatic exemption, to me, is problematic. If, for example, you know, the Laird, not the Laird, which is a men's only venue, they have to go to the commission and seek for an exemption to exempt women from being able to enter. And I think in the same way that a religious organisation should have to seek exemptions on a case-by-case basis. Now, we also believe, and I'm really strong on this one, is that organisations that choose to discriminate because of their religious affiliations should not be able to receive public funding. So that kind of says that if you want to receive money from the taxpayer, you have to ensure that you're not going to discriminate against people, particularly for things like sexuality or gender identity.
Well, in terms of Victorian policies, something your party is looking to change is the current criminal laws on sex work, which would mean the decriminalisation of sex work in Victoria. And also another change the Australian Sex Party supports is a Victorian voluntary assisted dying policy. I believe a report for the inquiry into end-of-life choices was tabled in the Victorian Parliament on the 9th of June. Why are these policies important to your party?
Really what it's about is freedom of self. No one else has a right to say what I can or can't do with my body. I think, you know, if we're talking about sex work, we're talking about decriminalisation, which has got the evidence behind it worldwide that that's the best environment for people to undertake legal sex work. You know, globally, where sex work is criminalised, we see higher risks of HIV and other harms, including sexual violence. And so we've got a licence system in Victoria. In New South Wales, it's decriminalised. And the evidence shows that the health outcomes, as well as the stigma associated with sex work, is decreased under a decriminalised system.
Speaking of Victoria, Victoria could be seen as quite a progressive state in terms of LGBTI rights with our current Premier. Is enough being done? And if not, what needs to change?
I think Victoria is doing an excellent job at inroads into equality. I think what we could do on a national level, we could replicate some of the things that we're doing in Victoria. So I wouldn't be opposed to a gender and sexuality commissioner at a federal level. I wouldn't be opposed to a minister for equality either. And then, of course, the big one is marriage equality. The party doesn't support a plebiscite, but if a plebiscite came, we would say yes, of course. But I think one nuance I just wanted to add is that the party doesn't believe that a minister of faith or minister of religion should be compelled by the state to perform a same-sex marriage. So it should be up to an individual minister or their church to decide whether or not they want to marry same-sex individuals.
Well, on that note, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it there. But Joel Murray, thank you so much for joining us on The Informer this evening.
It was my pleasure.
A big thank you to our guests tonight, Caitlin Evans from the Animal Justice Party and Joel Murray from the Australian Sex Party, both candidates contesting the seat of Batman. The Informer will be back again tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Up next is Outtakes with Daniel. I'm Emma Arnold, and thank you so much for making the wise decision of tuning in to The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.